Welcome to the James River Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to share just for a few moments some thoughts that actually really flow out of what's going on even in Chicago right now. And whether you're here or at one of the other campuses, I say this to our church often. Whenever you come to prayer meeting, there's kind of a dual posture that you need to have. So first of all, one posture is, I want to meet God. How many want to meet God tonight? And when you need God, you're like, I believe and I'm ready to meet God. And we should all feel that way. But also, in addition to that, sometimes when you come to the prayer meeting, you also come ready to fight for someone else. Not every message is for everyone, every meeting. But how many know if you come to enough prayer meetings, there's more than enough to go around? And aren't you thankful that somebody's ready to pray for you when your life is kind of jacked up and you need some help? Amen. And so I just want to give you a couple of nuggets of faith out of, I think, one of the unique stories and a unique place in the Bible to help us. And let me just say this. You know, faith has been lots of definitions. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. We know the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11. But in like basic terms, I would say that first of all, faith is believing and trusting, number one, in the heart of God. And then faith is believing and trusting, number two, in the power of God. Some people believe in the heart of God, but they have issues with the power of God. Some people, they don't think that God still does miracles. How many know God still does miracles? He is in the miracle-working business. Other people believe in the power of God, but they have a hard time personalizing God's heart to them. Like, they always feel like God wants to do it for someone else, but not for them. And come on, we've all been there just a little bit. And so, but faith is both. Faith is believing in God's heart, and it's also believing in his power. Now, God has been encouraging me as of late out of the book of Judges, which is kind of unique because the book of Judges is a book that when I first heard about it in Bible school, they said, this is a bad book, man. The book of Judges is a bad scene because the people of God were backslidden and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so my impression of the book of Judges was always pretty negative. And the Lord began to speak to me because, yes, the book of Judges was a very dark time. But one of the ways that you could really be encouraged by the book of Judges is instead of looking at what man is doing, look at what God is doing in the book of Judges. And if you look at what God is doing, it could encourage you tremendously. So I'm going to walk you through just the very beginning of one of the stories, the story of Samson. Everybody knows Samson. He was the really strong guy, but they didn't know why. But with a long, he needed a haircut. Well, he didn't need a haircut. That's part of the issue. Very long hair, you know, wasn't super muscular. Just an average guy, but God wanted to use him in a powerful way. So let me just read right through. We're going to go fast. I want to make a couple of points to you, and then we're going to pray. So in the book of Judges chapter 13, let me start with this story. It says, and the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man of Zorah and of the tribe of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now let's stop right here. This is the first thing I want to point out to you. These were very, very dark times, okay? And God does something that is important for us to understand, and this relates directly to the heart of God. When times are dark, always remember, if you believe in God's heart, when times are dark, always know God wants to appear. God loves to show up when times are dark. Chicago is dark. They're killing each other. It's horrible there. The president said he's going to call in the feds. But how many know that shouldn't stop us, because the darker it is, the more God wants to appear. How many believe God wants to appear in power? If you're here today or at one of the other campuses, and times are dark, first step of faith is know that you know that you know that you know God wants to appear. That is his heart. And it doesn't matter how dark it is. How many know great things happen when the Lord shows up? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants to show up in powerful, powerful ways. I wish I had the time to tell you a story, but you know, we had a guy in our church who was an ex-gang banger. This guy was so bad. He spent 7 years in the state prison. It was a supermax prison, and in the supermax prison, they put him 7 years isolation because he was so bad. Huge guy, John. I mean, a huge beast of a guy, you know what I mean? And he was mean and angry, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And we baptized him at the church and almost broke my back and a couple knees. And so we baptized him. He was doing great, serving God. I wish I could tell you the whole story, but very quickly. So he was getting training to be a truck driver. He did his training time. And then he was in Iowa, and his hour was over. He went to sleep. His instructor took the wheel, and then he crashed. It's late at night. They went off the side down an embankment, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet. No one could see them. And when he woke up, his body was twisted like a pretzel. His knee was back here by his ear. And he was twisted and broken. And when he woke up, he was just, it was like the most bizarre thing, because when he woke up, for the first 2 or 3 minutes, he didn't have pain. The truck driver, his instructor, was screaming and crying because he crashed. And by the way, he didn't even get a scratch. So the guy was saying, we're going to die. And this guy's name is Rigo. And Rigo, he looked and he could tell. He knew he was in trouble because his legs were all broken and twisted. And he said to him, hey, God is good. God is going to help us. And the guy is asking him for forgiveness. He's saying, I forgive you. Don't worry. God is going to help us. And then he falls out. We got word. His back was broken. His legs were broken. I think he 11, 15 surgeries. First, he couldn't breathe. We prayed. And then he started breathing on his own. Then they said they were going to cut both of his legs off. We prayed. He didn't lose his legs. They told him it would be years before he walked. In like 4 months, he actually stood up and walked into our church, which was unbelievable. Hallelujah. And listen, I don't really understand why this would happen to a guy like Rigo, okay? But guess what? Sometimes times get dark. But listen to me. No matter how dark it gets, always know our God loves to appear. How many know he wants to appear even tonight? How many will say amen? so much more to the story, but I have to keep going. Let's keep reading very quickly. So he says, you're going to conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite. Everyone say Nazarite. The child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Go back for a second. So the second thing I want to point out to you is the Lord loves to appear, okay, when times are dark. And then there's this second thing. Nazarite means to be separated to God. It means to be separated to God. And when times are dark, God loves to raise up a separated people. When times are dark, God loves to raise up a separated people. A Nazarite was someone who was separated to the plan of God and the purposes of God. And if we're going to change this world, guess what? We are called to be New Testament Nazarites. And how many know that no matter how dark things get, God can still work holiness in our lives so that we would be sold out to him, so that we would belong to him? He still does works of holiness, even in the city of Chicago. How many know God can raise up Nazarites for his glory? How many would say amen? And let me say this, part of the reason why you're in a prayer meeting tonight is because God doesn't just want to work through you, he wants to work in you. And so the work of holiness, the work of getting closer and closer to God, is always part of God's heart. And that's why things don't get solved immediately, because sometimes what God is doing is he's just drawing you close to him. You see, he's making you his own. And as the Lord makes you his own, how many know, once you really belong to him, then he can use you for his glory in immeasurable ways. And sometimes in life, the worst things you look back on after God has worked in you, the worst things actually become the best things. And so, you know, talking about holiness is not all that popular, but it is very popular in heaven. How many know it's popular in heaven? And he still wants to do that. You know, and that's why this time in his presence, time in the word, even when you're going through tough times, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Okay? Your problem, your difficulty, your hardship, it's not too big for God. But sometimes he wants to get at something deeper. So very quickly, the heart of God. When times are dark, the Lord loves to appear. When times are dark, the Lord loves to raise up a separated people. And we're believing that for Chicago. We're believing that for Springfield. You know? And then, real quickly, I just want to read a little bit more, and we're going to close. Now, very quickly, it says, the woman came and told her husband, a man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from. He did not tell me his name, but he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born. God listened to the voice of Manoah. The angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to the woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now when your words come true, what is this child's manner of life? What is his mission?" And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that drinks from the vine, that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink or eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "If you detain me, I will not eat your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord." You know, let me stop here. This is how I was telling my staff this. Whenever God shows up, let me tell you, the best inclination is to offer him something. Okay? God shows up many times, and our inclination is to ask him for something. Okay? But whenever the Lord shows up, the best inclination is to say, wait, let me offer you something, Lord. You know? And so he says, "Then offer it to the Lord," for Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. A little more, guys, we're almost done. It says, "And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you.' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?'" How many know the name of the Lord is wonderful? And we're going to close now, okay? When times are dark, God loves to show himself wonderful. He loves to appear and do amazing things. Can I tell you real quickly? We just closed, right, on that property. It has 8 storefronts. One of those storefronts is an adult bookstore. One of them is a tarot card reader. Did I tell you that one, Brother John? Right? So obviously we gotta get those brothers out, right? So here's what happened. We actually had my executive pastor call me yesterday because the owner of the adult bookstore was in his office for an hour yesterday. And I'm believing that will lead him to Christ. But here's what's so amazing about God. So this past Sunday, after the second service, a guy comes up after the altar call and he says, "Can I talk to you?" Now, since we have 3 services, I usually don't do that, but there was something about him. I felt like the Spirit said, "Go talk to him." Pulled him in the office. And the guy says, "Look, I grew up, I went to church as a little boy. My dad was a Christian, but he was sick in his mind and he used to beat me senselessly. And so I lived a crazy life. I lived a crazy, crazy life. When I was 29 years old, I went from this is a big, strong dude. When I turned 29 years old, I just decided to turn over to homosexuality." He said, for 30 years, I've been living, and he told me things that would not be appropriate to repeat here. He said, 2 weeks ago, I wanted to kill myself. But I remembered as a little boy, I got on my knees and I prayed. I said, "God, I'm addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to sex." And he said, "I don't know what happened, but I felt different when I got up." Okay? So then he says, "I don't know what to do now." So he Googles a church. He finds our church. And guess what? He said, when he saw the address of our church, he was like, "Oh, that's the church. I know exactly where that church is." You know why? Because he used to pick up guys in the adult bookstore. And God even used that dirty, sinful, ugly place to lead a guy to the house of God. How many know? He's powerful. Hallelujah. He's powerful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the ugliest things, God can take the ugliest situation and show himself wonderful. Now here's how I want to close. I just want to read you one more verse because the question is, how does he do this? We talked about the heart of God, but how does he really do this? Okay, so when Samson grew up, the first miraculous thing that he did, two verses and then we'll close. It says, then Samson went down with his father, now he's a man, and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. And then the Spirit of the Lord, everyone say the Spirit of the Lord. I hope you said it at the campus, right? Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hands, he tore the lion to pieces as one tears a young goat. How does this happen? Okay, faith is not just believing in the heart of God. Faith is believing in the power of God. And the power of God still rushes onto people, rushes into our homes, rushes onto our children, rushes onto our marriages. And he can tear things apart. He can tear apart perversion, tear apart addiction to pornography, tear apart addiction to drugs, tear apart any kind of addiction, any kind of unholiness. The Spirit of God still comes in power and sets people free in Chicago, in Springfield. It doesn't matter. Wherever there's faith in the power of God, he comes in a mighty way and tears apart the devil by his mighty power. Hallelujah. And we've watched it over and over and over again. You know what I love about the prayer meeting, and I want to call people up to pray. What I love about the prayer meeting is that for you, at one level, it's just another Wednesday. When we prayed that day with two rows of people, it was just another Tuesday. But see, with God, when you draw near in faith, it's never just a Wednesday. It's never just a Wednesday. Today was a regular day. You went to work, you went to school, you went here, you went there. But now we are standing on holy ground, brothers and sisters. We are in the presence of the Most High God. And so I believe that even tonight, we can believe. Some people need to be prayed for, okay? Other people need to do the fighting. If you're here at the other campus, there are people there. Maybe the lion is attacking you. Maybe he's attacking your marriage. Maybe he's attacking your mind. Maybe he's attacking your emotions or your body. Maybe you're battling with addictions of some type. You know, it doesn't matter what you're battling with. How many know there's no devil, there's no sickness, there's no power, there's nothing that can stop the glorious power of Jesus Christ? If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he's able to quicken your mortal body by his mighty power. I was actually at a pastor's conference yesterday. I preached at a pastor's conference in the morning, and they had us share about kids. If your child is away from the Lord today, listen, wherever he is. How did Chrissy come back home? We prayed in a prayer meeting, right? She was bound. We prayed in a prayer meeting, and here's what I believe. I believe that, and she didn't really know it, but I believe that as we prayed and cried out to God and turned it into a labor room, I believe that after 3 years of being just not wanting anything to do with God, the Spirit of God rushed upon her and tore off whatever it was. I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter. You don't need to know. How many know God knows all things? She was changed. Just another Tuesday. How many know there's no such thing as another Tuesday or another Wednesday when people pray?